Super Slimy 8.
Slimetober.
The Sliminy.
Flip slop slime.
Dude, this is going to be the shortest fucking audio face ever.
We have not done an audio face this short in a long time.
Because Slime Language 2, I'm like, okay, I listen to three songs of Slime Language. I never want to listen to this thing in my life again. This is the worst thing ever. Little Duke, kill yourself, done.
Arbitrary scale. You think of an arbitrary scale while I get this.
Oh, shit. Okay, got it. Times we said that we're going to pull out of Afghanistan.
Which one?
Which times we said that we're going to leave out that ass? That's one of the best arbitrary skills.
The spirit of Michael Brooks is laughing at that one. Hello, humans. Hey. Welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters. I'm Dan.
I'm Sean.
On episode 183, we've got three album reviews for you. We've got Slime Language 2 from Young Stoner Life Records. That's Young Thug, Gunna, a number of others. Doesn't matter. We have I Love McConan with his first independent label release, where he gets to explore his musical sound and see if he can do some different things. And we have... 42 by Sesh, or Sec. 42 by Sec.
Yes.
There's some Latin music here on Audio Face because we are a diverse music podcast. We've also got some singles that we're going to be talking about and a light 100-calorie version of news for you.
I mean, this is like extra diet. Like, you're squeezing. As the Devil Wears Prada diet of every time I'm going to faint, I just eat a cube of cheese to keep standing.
This is using a Dyson air vacuum to get the last bit of light Miracle Whip out of the bottle. Kind of light news. Anyways, let's start with... There's no chill in the music world, man. Let's start with the singles.
This is rough.
Been to War, featuring Godfather of Harlem, Swiss Beats, and posthumous DMX.
He just died, yo. Just like, died. Come on.
Man, come on. Well, yo.
Can a man get a break?
Like...
To the beat, I'm my own drummer. Let's get it on, baby. We can go to war all summer. I done been to jail. I done did numbers. I done been to hell. I done been under. Difference between a boss and a runner. Whatever you think, it's no way. I'm doing what you wanna. Playing a game in the off season. Niggas need to stop it. You gon' fuck around and end up rolled up in the carpet. Next time your man pull up with the car, tear to get
in. I mean, this is one of those things where it's tied up and like it's one of these star fuck collaborations.
It's because it's film, from a film, exactly.
Like a thing on Epic TV. It's like it's a TV production film. And yeah, it's fine. Everyone gets like a literally one or two bars to
it's
all
right.
But just like,
it's just damn, dude, chill.
We need to have like a month like grace period. And we should really call that the amazing, we should call it the amazing grace period.
Wow, that's so on the nose. Jesus Christ.
You should have a 1 month amazing grace period.
And then the industry can just go ham and be like, all right, let me do this.
Well, we're just like a month after the artist pop, dies, baby. We don't talk about it. And then, yeah, like literally 30 days at 12:01 a.m. afterwards, you just release everything. Also, we have an entirely different thing. We have Whatever Tomorrow by Chet Faker, an artist who hasn't released music in so long, Sean almost forgot about it.
Yeah, really. I think his last album from 2014. He released a couple singles before Whatever Tomorrow, I think last year or so, which I have heard as well, and they're decent, but going on to Whatever Tomorrow, I like it. It's a fun, like, kind of slow, alternative, alternative indie song, and
yeah.
Ticks all the boxes.
It's a slower evolution of the kind of lo-fi-ish early 2000s.
Yeah.
I mean, early 2010s alternative, sort of similar to Alt-J, I guess you could say. But it's done in a really nice way. Yeah. Chet Faker, yeah, he really has kind of owned the early 12, 13s kind of like alternative space, especially as it got more like synthy as opposed to the more rocky aspects of things. So it'll be interesting to see what he comes out with later this year. We've got to confirm that there'll be an album out later this year.
Pretty sure there will be an album.
And yeah, there have been some singles. Low was one that came out a while ago.
Yeah, it came out last year. That. Yeah. No, we did not.
We shall see. And lastly on new singles, we have Arcade Fire's single they've released on Headspace. Headspace, as you know, and we're not going to say too much about them because they're not paying for that sponsorship. they're a meditation app.
Yes.
To help you with like guided meditations and things like that. Well, apparently they commissioned Arcade Fire to include like a 45-minute song called Memories in the Age of Anxiety.
Ambient piece.
Yeah.
More or less.
It gave us a little bit vibes of M1A1 by Gorillaz.
Yeah, the intro of it before it goes wild.
Which is, the intro portion of it, because that is not a very ambient song by Gorillaz.
La 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 la. Think of like you're meditating and you just have Damon running around on stage yelling at a microphone in your ears and you're like, well, I guess I can't meditate.
I mean, it gives me like Duncan Trussell Family Hour kind of vibes, but like that's pretty much where it is. The only 30 seconds or so you can hear of the song is like from Arcade Fire posting on Instagram or whatever. You will have to
go to Headspace
subscription if you really want to hear
45 minutes of Win Butler. It's a lot of win for my life.
That's more Win Butler than a lot of women have been able to get. So there's that. Thank you for that's the singles for this week. Let's go into some of the plugs. Make sure to check out our playlist, 2021 AF. We are adding new music to it every single week of some of the best, albums or songs from albums that are coming out from this year. The link for that is in the description of the video or the podcast that you're listening to. So check that out. You can help grow AudioFace by following us on Twitter at AudioFacePod, by on Instagram at AudioFacePod, or by subscribing to us on YouTube at youtube.com/AudioFacePod. All of those things, any little bit of interaction, helps get our show in front of the eyeballs of more people. So we really appreciate that little bit of help for this free podcast. Hit follow on Spotify, subscribe, any of those other things you're doing in Apple Podcasts, those things help. Bonus episodes. A lot of people like our bonus episodes. I got another compliment from another person about the Doom episode. That was really good. So check those out. We just dropped one on Caro Caro Benito with one of my filmmaker friends who's made some really cool like videos for viral things on IG and in gaming and stuff. We dug into Caro Caro Benito because they got an EP coming out next week. And I like doing these bonus episodes about like little random bands here and there because I wouldn't think that much about Caro Caro Benito. But then going into this like hour long deep dive of them, I can understand how like there's a lot of like world building and like ideation and creativity that goes into making a kind of band that you don't see from a lot of bands. And you start to appreciate it when you do. Because there's a lot of it when you don't. More on that later. Check out our past bonus episodes on Daft Punk, like we mentioned, Doom, State of Music 2021. We've got some really exciting ones coming up this year. I think this year is probably going to be our best run of bonus episodes so far.
For sure.
Meanwhile, on the Power Report side, I just released a new episode where I spoke with someone who is really well-versed in immigration policy and all those different things about what Joe Biden's new immigration policy and platforms do right and what they do wrong, plus some comments on America's like being just the gun nation, apparently, because we have a new mass shooting pretty much every time we record this podcast, actually more often than that. But yeah, that's Power Report. That's the politics stuff. Check that out at powerreport.world. Thank Dan, it's Friday. As I've been saying, it returns May 7th. And yes, again, thank you, Peter. This is mastered and done by Dead Music Productions. They're making it sound better. And we're constantly tweaking it to make it sound even better. So thank you, Dead Music Productions, for that. Follow them on Instagram at deadmusic666.
Woo!
Plugger-roonies. Okay. Into the news. And of course, last week we began the weirdest news portion of AudioFace ever, where we had that statement about the legal threats that we had received from Shane Blanchard of Bane's World. And since releasing that statement on social media and talking about that, we've gotten a lot of like really positive feedback from generally people about it. People who have been talking about it for a while, from like former like band members in Bane's World to people who had just been like trying to speak out, trying to speak to these survivors' like stories and like for a while hadn't gone into things. It just so happens that like we weren't even the first to kind of like have the second round. There's like a reporter Catherine Abando, who I want to shout out, who was talking about these things, as Eric, who is one of the former members of Bane's World, would just post a TikTok video describing a lot of the incidents and the things that was going on. This all seems to kind of just be in a response to, like, Chain releasing new music over this time, and people trying to remind folks out there in the music community of his past, and based on his more recent actions, what I could say is a sort of lack of remorse for those things. But, like, overall, and then, like, again, shout out to Spewzine as well for their work and kind of highlighting this effort on all these things. But overall, the statement did what we wanted it to do, is kind of, like, not the right phrasing of it per se, but what we, like, the best we could make from the situation was, yeah, like, highlighting people's stories and, like, elevating that to a, yeah, place to where everyone else could kind of do the rest. And so I think we're pretty happy with that.
Yeah, for sure. More or less that.
Yeah. So that is hopefully the last word on that. Not that it's, like, not an important thing to discuss and keep, like, mentioning and talking about, but, like, truthfully, like, there's, like, the video that also went up that Eric did that goes into a lot of more detail for, mm-hmm, people who are new to the allegations and things that are out there, in addition to the threads and things we've linked to before about that stuff. So assuming that Shane's not continuing this behavior, let's say, there's not really much more for us to add.
Nope.
But moving on to just some darn old music here. We have Slime Language 2, a one of those good old collaborative trap projects from an entire label, Young Stoner Life Records. You got Young Thug, you got Gunna, you got a bunch of others. It is 23 songs, an hour and 15 minutes long. And every year on Audioface, every year, we try with these things. Ooh. Whether it's like these mixtapes that come out, whether it's quality control, all these different things, we try and go like, okay, these are the showcase of trap and what they have to offer. All of music from pop to R&B is kind of copying the sound. What have they got? And every time we're disappointed, thoroughly. Not only disappointed, but like our time is wasted. Sean, firing the gun, go in.
What is worse, this or quality control?
Wow. Here's what I'll give this. I think that Young Thug and the producers came on this album very correct. Yeah. Young Thug has enough variation in his flows and styles. Yeah. And the production on here, while kind of bland and repetitive and trying to kind of...
Extremely repetitive, but that's the nature of it.
Yeah, and also if you're trying...
Also because it's an hour and 15 fucking minutes long.
Also, if you're trying to cater trap production to Gunna, who is like one of the most bland milquetoast, yes, like trap artists out there, then you're going to get like a Xerox of a Xerox, just like bad copy of bad copy of bad copy. But yeah, I'd say like Thugger gets a B for his performance on here. The production team in general gets like a C+, and then everyone else is a D-. Like everything else.
Whoever made Slotty needs to stop making music. Whoever touched that song, whoever touched that and said, we can release this into the wild and let that out, just needs to just close the laptops down, close the Fisher-Price mobiles down, and just be like, that's it.
Hop out the Porsche, hop in your friend, after your daughter.
I'm shutting down operations. Because that's so far in 2021, that's the worst song I've heard by far.
It is unbelievably
bad. I try to give trap a pass. There is some really good rap that has come out. Brockhampton's album, fire.
Yeah.
Really, really good. Some of Young Thug stuff, even like his album and things that came out earlier, didn't mind. He's fine. But God, that song is the worst song to start off an album on.
And like a lot of trap intros, albums, like album intros don't go that great. Ski, the second song in that, doesn't really continue much better.
No, it doesn't.
I'll have to show you a little bit later in the podcast, but I'll play it right here. One of the more pathetic attempts of them trying to make the ski challenge into like a real thing happening.
It's just skiing in place.
It's just like, please stop for everyone involved. Think of the children.
Please just stop.
Think of the children, Thugger. Think of the children. I think it's actually Quavo doing like the fake skiing thing, but whatever. And what can I say here? Like, there's, it's just a It's Mother's a giant row of back-to-back starfuck.
Yeah, exactly. Because you have Travis Scott, you have Drake, you have Lil Baby, you have Lil Uzi Vert, you know, no the diamond wearing face man, Lil Uzi Vert. You have Kid Cudi, noted Caesar's favorite rapper, one of Caesar's favorite rappers.
And while we're pissing off Caesar in this part of the podcast, can
well,
I say
actually,
that,
Moon Man actually wasn't terrible, but anyways.
Can I say that Superstar by Future is like bad for Future? Get a lot of money, drive fancy cars. Everybody wanna be a superstar. Get a lot of money, might not see tomorrow. Everybody wanna be a superstar. Get a lot of money, fuck fancy price. Everybody wanna be a superstar. Get a lot of money, drive fancy cars. Stick it to the money.
Yeah. No.
It's phoned in and terrible for Future. I know Future can do better than this. Not that much. But like, it...
It just it seemed like
one of the worst
was...
songs I've heard in a while, actually, is Superstar.
I mean, Slotty's the worst, but it sounds like he's bored when he was rapping. Because normally he'll do stuff here or there or whatnot, but it just sounds like he just completely ran out of ideas on that track.
It's funny because I think Young Thug was describing this album as like the experience of performing live for us, but in recording studio. So we had to like, he's saying in their words, we had to bring our all. We had to bring our A game.
It's pretty bad. It's just, here's the thing with this album. It's just bland. It's the same old trap formula that you hear, especially on these giant starfucks of albums that we get year in, year out, that they don't differ too much from each other. They don't have enough innovation between tracks, innovation between albums. There isn't any concept really to it. There's nothing too much. It's just throw some stuff onto a trap beat and call it a day, wrap it up and... you know, chip chop and make more. That's more or less what it is. So it's very disappointing because you have all these things that people like Thugger are saying, hey, I've been wanting to make this, blah, 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 so on and so forth. But every time we have it, it lands face flat. You can have good trap. You can have good trap songs. You can have good collaborations between artists. I mean, Metro Boomin and 21 Savage, that combination, amazing. Every time it pops up, amazing. But with this, this is the worst of trap.
Yeah, it's sad because there also have been a couple. I think maybe the only good trap collaboration we've done at this point is...
for this year.
And possibly ever. Mm-hmm. Might be Revenge of the Dreamers. Like one of those like big collaboration mixtape type things.
Yeah.
Where like everything seems like, you know, or at least much of it seems like worth our time. I'll have to show this later because it'll just like take us too much off of this.
Okay.
But like even the... I'll show you this as I'm talking this. Even the pathetic attempt to, like, the challenge kind of, like, happen as a thing.
Please stop.
When it's, like, please not stop. Even a good song or performing that high on the album. It's just, like... It's like when industry planting goes wrong.
It's just because they don't even know how to... What are they doing? Oh, my God.
It's like, bad for TikTok. Like... What if like Ghostface Killah was doing a TikTok dance? I want you to imagine
Ghostface Killah with the love neon sign in the background, fake skiing.
Like, yeah, it's this is the least effort one right here as we get into the arbitrary scale, but maybe one or two of these songs might like blow up or do something somewhere. Maybe you like an artist in here and you're like, oh, that's not bad here, whatever. But like, as a complete project or work, this is just like throwaway songs. This is the very honest attempt.
But this is what happens when you have Gun on every track, man. It's going to be rough if you have him on there.
Ben Franklin, my president. Okay. Arbitrary scale this week.
The amount of stupidity in that line.
In that one lyric. No. Because the next lyric after that is, most of you niggas illiterate.
I didn't even catch on to that one. I heard the Ben Franklin, my president. I just remember I was sitting here, I was like, you gotta be kidding.
No, it's so bad, it's funny.
Anyway. Can we nominate for Bars of the Year?
Gunna Bars of the Year. If it wins a Grammy, maybe.
Oh, Christ.
Arbitrary scale times the U.S. promised it would leave Afghanistan. I'm going to give this...
I'm going to give this a W.
No, but which W? I'm going to give this a flight suit W, mission accomplished. Sorry. Not to give it away, but that's definitely what I'm going to give the next album. for sure.
Okay. That's fine. No, this is
2006 post surge.
Okay.
This is the surge is over.
First,
Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House. What should begin an eventful but short tenure as Speaker of the House for young Nancy Pelosi? And
what year is it?
Oh man, I'm so glad I was a kid through the Bush years, so I could just like sort of block most of that out.
Dear God.
Moving on to essentially the only piece of news this week, and boy, are we a reaching. Actually, this is good because in one of the more risque segues I've done, speaking of Long Beach artists, Vince Staples is announced that he has been very busy over quarantine, and he has got two upcoming albums on the way, and the Netflix show, The Vince Staples Show, should be a thing, should be happening. One of the albums will be self-titled and as anonymous as Vince Staples, and the other one, Ramona Park, Broke My Heart.
Shout out Ramona Park, North Long Beach.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I've been in the game for a while, and by the game, I mean the music reviewing game. Ramona Park, Broke My Heart might just be like a concept title for something.
Because it's so far ahead.
Vince is going to release the self-titled one right now.
Yeah.
And then kind of continue. I'm expecting there's going to be some heat with that.
Please, God, give us...
I've seen some things here and there with Vince working with Kenny Beats, and it's got like a bit of a, some of the newer beats that are being produced for Vince Staples have a little bit of a continuation of the Big Fish Theory kind of hard industrial sound, pepped into more of like a trap space. Vince Staples, there's a lot of pressure on him for rap, at least for us, because like, he's done really good.
He's done fantastic. I mean, Big Fish Theory is one of my favorite rap albums, honestly.
Yeah, contemporarily speaking, definitely. Mm-hmm. And he gave this big interview with GQ, giving a lot of this information, wide-ranging, with Desus Nice. And among a number of the different things that are going on here, just to get to the point of Vince Staples, we want him to do enough with his next album to where it's different and shows that growth. But we also want him to continue to be his experimental self. Yes. But also, I want to, and this is a weird thing, but I also want him to show a little bit more, like, mainstream prowess. Because we know him as a character, and he can definitely have, like, mainstream success. But, like, he deserves to be on, like, the exact same level as the 21s, the Young Thugs, the Drakes. Like, he doesn't have to be. He shouldn't need to be. But he should be the one who's, like, doing the feature tour for his albums, like Kendrick did after Damn. I hope that having a self-titled eponymous album like this, that is a banger, hopefully it is when it gets released later this year, will kind of set him on that track. But there's one interesting note from the interview I think is kind of related to this, where Vince Staples is kind of musing on fame and all these things. And he talks to none other than friend of the show, St. John, who, for folks who don't know, we gave a really searing album review to last year for his album that came out last year. But apparently Vince Staples had a conversation with St. John and recounting this. He says, two years ago, he said to me, "Your music's good, but no one cares. Everyone's busy. They don't have time to try to figure out what you're trying to tell them. You're just supposed to make them feel better, make them feel good. Put them in a specific space."
And that's why St. John's music is absolutely garbage.
Yeah, there's very two different ways of... approaches to doing music. And I think there's a third way, the Kendrick Lamar third way, which is he makes like bangers for the clubs that like can also be deep,
but can also be extremely deep. Like look at King Kunta.
Yeah. Like half/all of Damn.
Pretty much all of Damn.
Yeah. Like all of Section 80, like all like it's not that hard. So I think Vince Staples put that out, and I think it's like an interesting thing for him because he's, but between the character, Vince Staples has like a very insightful like personality with the things he says, especially about the music creation process. But other than that kind of red flag there, I don't think Vince Staples is going to release an album full of crowd pleasers. I hope I don't eat my words, but just like so much of his career up to this has shown so much experimentation. I don't think he's going to change who he is because of St. John. Yeah, that was an interesting thing. I'm really looking forward to the Vince Staples show once that happens, hopefully, because that would be hilarious. Now we move on to I Love McConan's newest album, My Parade, 13 songs, 39 minutes long, and we listened to it so you don't have to. Now, I Love McConan, we know him from Jesus, what do we know of him from? From a couple of like...
He did stuff with Drake. He did stuff with Posthumous... God damn it. Who's the random trap artist who died? No, he did like Come Over When You're Sober. What's his face? Lil Peep.
Lil Peep.
Yeah, Posthumous Peep.
I've killed Lil Pump accidentally so many times in this podcast using him at Peep.
no.
But yeah, this is... excuse me, early 2010s hour, I guess, on Audioface here.
Yeah, it really is.
Because I Love McConnell was a big thing in the early 2010s. It was like kind of the background music of the era, let's say, when it came to trap and B, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a song, Tuesday, with Drake, of course, that you mentioned.
Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut, she choosing. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut, she choosing. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut, she choosing. Club going up on a Tuesday.
Oh my god.
But, the amount of times I heard that song. Jesus.
But recently, Drake was kind of doing, or no, Oliver McCone was doing more of like a thing where he was like, okay, I'm no longer tied to a major label anymore. I don't longer have to deal with these pressures of having to create an album that doesn't allow me to be myself creatively and be the person I really want to be. Now I'm releasing this album, I'm doing it independently, I'm doing it in my own style, so here it is. And like in an Audioface, doing all the stuff we do, we like that. We like when artists can feel like they can be themselves and do themselves. So I Love McConnell like opened up a door and fell like face first into the street.
Too Sexy is also one of the worst opening tracks of an album I've heard in a long time as well, because he does the spoken word thing, or like the really raspy voice. He does it throughout the song, and the production is just... Feels like cheetahs, striped up in the streets, no Adidas. Switching six lanes as I switch lanes. Got some stoppies right behind me trying to be a babe. Cause I'm too sexy, I'm too sexy, I'm too hot. Cause I'm too sexy, I'm too sexy, I'm too hot. Switching six lanes as I switch lanes. Got some stoppies right behind me trying to be a babe. Cause I'm too sexy, I'm too sexy, I'm too hot. It's not thought out that well. It's copied from many others, as we've always said, and it's just not good. And then this funny, the second song, If It's Cool, the production, everything is actually kind of nice in a way, because it slows down. I'm like, okay, it's kind of like almost like a really random old Neon Indian style song, just with this annoying voice. It's like, okay, I can see what happens there. And then the rest of the album is pretty shit.
Whoopsie has this like really awful
kind of whoopsie.
Yeah, this like thing in the back that makes me just want to like fire warning shots for no apparent reason. Like,
because again, he does the really raspy spoken word thing, spoken voice thing in the background, and you can't do that every track and expect anything else. But also, like, within the lyric, his lyricism and stuff in there is awful.
There's
like,
attempts to be playful and self-referential, but just not.
It's just, it falls flat on its face. Like, example, going back to If It's Cool, it's like, I want to sex with you. That's the lyric. And I'll go, oh my God, okay.
I Love McConnell is music for the people who still type smexy in text messages to people. it's a kind of...
That you see a smiley face.
Oh God, I don't even want to like. It feels like punching down, describing songs like "Bad Bitch with Stutter." Bad bitch every summer, bad bitch every summer. Yeah, I don't want no other. Just need a bad bitch with the stutter. Bad bitch with the stutter, and I don't take your calls like I used to in the fall. But when the springtime is start having withdrawals, need your clothes, baby, like it's winter time. Heavy at night, like oh, yeah, that song. Because it's like, I don't know, it's like all of the kind of corny vibes that The Weeknd and Thundercat give with none of the delivery.
Yeah, exactly. It's trying to be a fuckboy without being a fuckboy.
Yeah.
It's just falling flat on your face with it, and it's hilarious because he also had like More Bitches Than the Mayor. It's an awful song as well. Hilarious title, awful track.
Oh, featuring Lil B, the bass god. So, you know, just ratting it all out here. This is literally like the sewer of my freshman year in college up in Northern California. This is just all of it together collecting. It needs to be like snaked out to call the plumber.
That's rough.
Get rid of some of the issues.
That's rough.
I'm not even going to insult you with McCone's Beethoven. This album's pretty bad.
Please. Yeah.
We usually try to applaud artists for trying something different. And I'll give you that. You tried something different. This was not great. Go back to the drawing board for at least 2 to 3 years.
Figured it.
I'm sorry. This, on the arbitrary scale of times, and the American...
Flight suit W, baby.
This is the flight suit, because this is mission accomplished as a banner in the background. We did it, Patrick. We saved the city. any last words to this heap?
No. No. It doesn't deserve my time.
Yeah. No more of my time. And so... another thing we'll do is like a side note. This is like a half news story here, but we talked about Spotify's Loud and Clear initiative a couple of weeks ago, where Spotify was responding to a lot of pushback from folks in the music industry and the music community, not just us, but different music publications and also a lot of artists and indie artists who were saying that the way that the streaming services, namely Spotify, have the economics of streaming set up, there's a number of different ways where artists are basically cheated out of money that they've earned. And so Spotify responded by releasing this whole page on their website called Loud and Clear, trying to make it seem like, oh, no, we hear your complaints. We want to let you know that we actually
we're going to do something about it.
And so the Union of Musicians and Allied Workers, who have been very like vocal about these things, is going to have a couple of responses that they're going to release in the coming weeks. And we'll talk about those on a future.
But basically, it's like, pay us 1 cent a stream.
Yeah, it's like
it's not asking for much, dude.
Yeah, bare minimum. Like, we can, like, just calculate how many streams there are. And, like, you can even make it, like, if it has to be a fraction of a penny, like, not a fraction of a penny, but, like, I understand taxes and fees and all these different things. But if it's, like, half a cent per stream, that's still a substantial improvement to, like...
the .00035.
Yeah, like a thousandth of a penny.
Yeah.
If we're, like, a half of a penny, that's a lot better than a thousandth.
Yes.
Insert Americans here who don't know the difference between fractions. And I'm like, thousands? That sounds larger. Last album is 42 by Sech. Sech? I'm going to go with Sech on this one. It's 11 songs, 36 minutes long, and it's like reggaeton mixed with neo-pop kind of deal thing.
It's definitely reggaeton. Yeah. It's Latin reggaeton, like Bad Bunny and a couple other people. So.
Well, like Bad Bunny, which we talked about a little bit last year, is a lot more poppy, I would say.
For sure.
This is a little bit more clubby, like I said, reggaeton laid back.
Yeah.
And I think there's a couple of different like flourishes here and there, like you do find in Latin music, where like there's taking little things that are popular in alternative music here and there, and other little like trappy rap parts that are not too overbearing. That I think makes for like a decent enough kind of
my biggest complaint is just the drum beat is literally the same in every single song.
Yeah.
Like do it's the same thing that happens in reggaeton a lot, and that's been happening a lot more in newer reggaeton. Older reggaeton not so much, but
yeah,
it's decent. There's a lot of people are gonna like it, are gonna listen to it. You can bump it in the back of a club or in the back of a cookout easily and be fine.
Yeah. Bata La Bajo kind of starts with like a big like clubby sort of intro announcing sort of like I'm here announcement sort of deal that a lot of these things do. No sé por qué te asusta, que uno hace lo que le gusta. En tus ojos es una bruja, si se libra lo que buscas. Yo no sé por qué te asusta, que uno hace lo que le gusta. En tus ojos es una bruja, tú sigue bailando, no importa quién te vio. But it's upbeat enough, but like I said, it's not like super poppy, crazy lights and drums all the time happening to you. You get into Mi Ex Que Somos, which are very, like, songs going into love and relationships that have a surprising amount of depth from, like, the bits of Spanish that I was able to pick in and, like, understand. But then you kind of get into some of, the, like, the big singles from here, like De Cuerdas, where you get a lot of, like, good singing back and forth here as well. These are things that just can play pretty, like, inoffensively in the
exactly.
background forth things.
Easy crowd pleasers.
Cloud pleasers. I know what you do because it's very hard to do those kind of things. But I think of like a cloud sort of like in the wind massage kind of deal. I don't know. I miss airplanes.
You and me both.
Yeah. But no, Te Acuerdas actually really like, it's got like a good beat to it. But like you said, if the reggaeton drum thing like gets like repetitive for you, then I can understand that's definitely there.
De la sala te acuerdas que bellaca vamos cuidando la puerta con el corazón a 180 recuerdas no haga ruido tu mamá se despierta si yo estoy loco tú tampoco estás cuerda otro motivo más para casarte mi oferta
I sort of like have this experience where I listen to electronic music, for example, and I'm trying to listen to it outside of like me being a big electronic music person. And, like, I can get some people saying, like, oh, I don't get it. Just all the time. But obviously, like, there's a lot of, like, variation and difference.
Yeah, you can say that, especially house. House is extremely repetitive, but that's kind of the nature of the genre. Yeah. So that's my thing with, like, because reggaeton, it's been, like, back and forth battle of that. So
yeah, there have been times where it's been more experimental and, like, more willing to...
But then you have other... Less. We have, pretty sure the sex from Puerto Rico, so you have... I know there was ones from before where you have a lot of like Brazilian or Afrobeat influences, and those tend to be my favorite reggaeton when you have a lot more Afro stuff in there, and that's when the beat really, I really, really like that because then it becomes more almost synthy, more experimental with electronic music and other stuff that's coming from further down in South America, and you get a lot of good stuff out of that.
Yeah. Like one of the better parts about Major Lazer that I liked was that you're constantly introducing all of these things so much, especially in like Afro-Caribbean Latin beats that like other than Diplo routinely fucking up the songs, like there would be a lot of different like range and difference to at least a lot of the earlier Major Lazer tracks because you were doing so much of that blending on the fly, and that blending worked really well in that. In here... 911 is probably like the more popular song in here, but I actually liked the vibe of Playa a little bit more. It just seemed like a little bit more of a... Like, they're kind of going for a similar thing, and I kind of get to your point, like, yeah, they kind of, like, start to sound even similar in tempo and pace.
Yes.
But I think the collaborations that are also appearing on the song help to give it a little bit more variety and depth and add to the sort of the beach vibe that the song is going for. Yeah, like, overall, pretty, like, again, for the three things that we listened to out of this week, this is... the better one.
It's not saying much, but it is the better one.
Yeah, we could still have a little more range, a little more experimentation, a little more going past, even like the, you can keep the structure, but just like make different sounds and noises with the drum and some of the percussion, and that'll just make a world of difference too. But it's still more variety than a lot of like American music and rap and trap and such, so at least there's that arbitrary scale... Time's dad promised he would come home with a new Xbox.
Ouch. Got Xbox and Incredible Hulks. All the children's welcome, motherfucker.
Got Xbox and child supports. I am going to give this... I think there were like three different times Obama said we were going out of Afghanistan.
We'll pick one of them. I know 2011 he definitely did.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the 2011.
I know he definitely did in 2011. And then he's like, oops, sorry, we're going to expand. Pick.
Yeah, hope and change Obamacare.
It's like, I mean, it's Uno reverse card.
Yeah, it's like constitutional scholars, maybe they have different definitions of the term fewer than like literally everyone else. I don't know, maybe it's like a complicated law thing that you can explain on a podcast one day. But maybe I don't understand it. I don't know.
Who knows, at this point?
Not holding my breath for Joe Biden to do this time. This has been Audio Face. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. Seriously, make sure you're subscribed because there's going to be a lot of really cool bonus episodes that you won't want to miss. You'll get them immediately in your podcast feed before they show up on other platforms. So you make sure you want to get that. Follow Sean on Twitter at SW Suarez, on Instagram at SW Suarez, on both platforms, SW Suarez. It's really great. Me on Twitter, Dan from the Web, on Instagram at Dan from the Internet. And we will catch you all next week with more music. Got a lot. It's been a little bit of a lull period this past couple of weeks, but really good music coming into April and then May, and then just cool out of your face plans for May and then throughout the summer. So should be great. Thank you very much for listening and watching. We appreciate you for doing so, and we'll talk to you soon. Cheers.
Bye.